Welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. Today, our topic for discussion is the use of nicotine replacement therapy during pregnancy. My special guest is Dr. Yael Bar-Zeev, who is head of the Centre for Smoking Prevention and Cessation at Israel's Ben-Gurion University. Dr. Bar-Zeev recently completed her PhD thesis at the University of Newcastle. Along with several co-authors, has written a narrative review of NRT in pregnancy for the MJA. You can find it on mja.com.au from Monday, the 4th of December, 2017. What does being pregnant do to the way a woman metabolizes nicotine?
Basically, the metabolism in pregnancy is higher in general, not just specifically for nicotine.
Okay.
The blood volume is higher, and therefore anything is metabolized like a lot faster. The nicotine is also metabolized faster, and that is why, so women usually want to reduce the amount they smoke, but actually they even need more nicotine than when they're not pregnant because of the faster metabolism.
Okay, so perhaps giving them a dose that's equivalent to what they were smoking before they were pregnant is not enough to be effective during pregnancy.
And that's exactly what the research shows. So most of the research that was done with pregnant women and nicotine replacement therapy actually uses a dosage that is not enough. So they're trying to give as little as possible, but she even probably needs more than if she wasn't pregnant.
Okay. Why are clinicians anxious about the dosage for NRT, for nicotine replacement therapy? What are the dangers?
Well, first of all, I think that clinicians and women themselves and their partners are anxious in general about using medications in pregnancy. So there's sort of like this natural tendency to not use anything and not take anything. I mean, I can tell you when I was pregnant, I didn't even take Panadol. No medications in pregnancy. And that's completely safe. So there's sort of like this natural tendency not to use anything. But specifically with nicotine, animal studies have shown that it can be detrimental to the brain and lung development. Mm-hmm. And this is all in animal studies. So the studies that were done mostly with rats and mice and some with monkeys show that it can harm the brain development and the lung development. But saying that, none of this was replicated, of course, in any of the human studies. Because animal studies do show some kind of detrimental development, there's sort of this fear that we don't know enough and it might do something also to the fetus.
What do the current guidelines say about NRT in pregnancy?
So I think that's one of the major problems, and that's what this narrative review was trying to sort of put a focus on. That guidelines, so most of the guidelines all around the world from high-income countries say that you can use NRT in pregnancy, but they sort of are very ambiguous. They're not, you know, they sort of say, look, it's safer than smoking, you can use it, but you have to make sure you talk to the woman about the risks versus benefits. You can't give too much. You can only give if the woman is really motivated to quit. So they're sort of giving you all kinds of these limitations and not really providing confidence that it's okay to use it.
Mixed message, in other words.
So and there are guidelines for especially from like the WHO and some of the guidelines from the United States that are even more conservative, saying the evidence is not, we don't have enough evidence to recommend or not recommend using it. Guidelines from Australia, so from the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, do say very specifically that you can use nicotine replacement therapy in pregnancy, that it is safer than smoking. They do recommend that you first use oral nicotine replacement therapy, and only if that doesn't work, use a patch also.
Okay. What do other countries do?
United Kingdom basically has a very similar approach to Australia, and they actually use it much more freely than is used here.
Okay.
So in the United Kingdom, they have stop smoking services. So anyone who wants to quit smoking is referred to these services where a tobacco treatment specialist works. And they use nicotine replacement therapy during pregnancy, and most of the women coming to them actually receive even combination nicotine replacement therapy, which means a patch plus an oral form of nicotine replacement therapy, and they have pretty good success rates with that kind of treatment.
Right.
New Zealand guidelines and Canadian guidelines all are the same as the Australian guidelines, saying that you can use nicotine replacement therapy in pregnancy. It's better off to start with the oral nicotine replacement therapy. And basically, you need to sort of discuss with the woman the risks versus benefit and follow up on her to make sure that everything is okay. The United States is a bit different, where they don't have a recommendation. They basically say it might be safer. We don't have enough evidence. We can't recommend using it or not using it.
Okay. What does Israel do?
Well, in Israel, there are no guidelines, but basically we follow the UK and the Australian guidelines. So if a clinician comes and asks me, we recommend that the woman can use nicotine replacement therapy. We're actually working with one of the health maintenance organizations here in Israel that just won a GACV grant to implement a new program and get clinicians to be more confident about providing nicotine replacement therapy in pregnancy.
Okay.
And that's actually very similar to what we did. That's part of what my PhD did, is together with the study is led by Associate Professor Gillian Gold and Professor Billy Benevsky.
Yes.
And Associate Professor Marie Grupetta from the University of Newcastle. Basically, we're working with Aboriginal Medical Services to train their health providers. And part of that is getting them to feel more confident in their ability to prescribe NRT and talk to the woman about NRT, because that's also one of the problems, that even if you get the health provider to feel that they can recommend it and prescribe it, the woman, on the other hand, might not want it because she feels it's a medication, it might be dangerous and so forth.
Let's talk a little bit about strength of urges and frequency of cravings for cigarette during pregnancy. If I'm a GP and a pregnant woman comes into my surgery and wants to know what she should be doing about smoking, what are the questions that GPs should be asking?
Yeah, I think that's one of the main things that sort of differentiates this also from the general population. So if I have a smoker coming into my office, usually I decide on the dosage of NRT according to the number of cigarettes they smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And my next question would be, you know, how soon do you smoke your first cigarette in the day? And the sooner you smoke, that means you're more dependent, and I would give you a higher dosage.
Right.
And most guidelines use these two questions in the general population to decide on the dosage of nicotine replacement therapy. But whereas in pregnancy, those are not really good indications. They have been found to sort of predict if a woman is more dependent or not, but they're not really good indications to how much dose of NRT I need to give. First of all, most women reduce the amount they smoke. So when you ask her how much she smokes, she's smoking a lot less than she usually does. And it doesn't really tell me how much she's actually dependent on nicotine.
Yeah.
And they also try to defer the cigarettes as much as possible. So it's much better to focus on her cravings for a cigarette, because that's a really good of indication of how she's feeling, how she's dealing with her addiction. So basically, we want to ask her, how strong were your urges in the last 24 hours and how frequent were they?
Okay.
And if she has very strong urges or very frequent urges, that means, you know, she's not dealing that well with her withdrawal of nicotine, and she may need more nicotine replacement therapy. I think the most important message is not to be afraid of using it.
Yep.
And also, use it as much as needed to help the woman, because GPs, you know, they say, okay, you can take it, but then the woman is not that confident, the GP is not that confident, and she ends up using two pieces of gum, and that's not nearly as enough. So yeah, you can use it, and you also have to use, so you want to use the lowest amount that you can to protect the baby, but you have to use an amount that is efficient. If you're using an amount that isn't going to do anything, then it's not really going to work. So basically, what I usually tell the women is use it regularly throughout the day. So if you're smoking 10 cigarettes a day, you would want to use one piece of gum or anything else that, from the oral form, that at least once every hour, hour and a half. And also, if you know you're going to be in a situation where you're going to have a lot of cravings, like you're meeting up with friends or going out or something like that, take it about 20 minutes before, so that it will lower your nicotine withdrawal symptoms in those situations. So you want to use as much as you need in order to deal with the cravings. Otherwise, it's not really helpful, and you're not really treating the woman.
Thank you so much for your time. I really
appreciate
it.
Thank you so much.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.